I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So here's a few questions for you to consider. Why do some who get COVID experience nothing more than a few symptoms or a bad cold, while others get deathly sick? Have doctors nailed down some common denominators beyond that of pre-existing conditions of asthma and diabetes? Is there more to it than that? Also, if a healthy body serves as protection against deadly viruses, what are some of the best ways to strengthen our immune system when we're not in a battle? All right. And if our bodies can't heal without proper sleep, what are some things we can do to ensure a good night's sleep? Here's another one. If you have a number of odd symptoms, but you're not sure why, you might be dealing with something called mast cell activation syndrome. What is that? Well, these questions and more will be answered today by my friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan. She joins me once a month to address the health issues and to answer your questions. I am happy to tell you the phone lines are open, so you can either call or text. And now I'm just going to make a little joke and tease you just a tad, because oftentimes you wait till the second half of the show, and then so many calls come in, we can't get to them all. So it would be a great favor to me if you would start calling sooner than later. How about that? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. And Ryan, if you're listening, can you unlock the phones? It's not working on the board right now. You can also text in your question. All right. And you need to know that my friend Dr. Jill is fast becoming a world-renowned expert in the area of mold toxicity and other autoimmune issues. She's both an MD and a functional med doctor. She's an expert in health and the healing process. She's a woman of God, and she's a dear friend to me. Again, we welcome those questions. 877-933-2484. Text or call. Dr. Jill Carnahan's a board certified in both family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. She owns her own practice, Flatiron Functional Medicine, in Louisville, Colorado, and we're blessed to have her with us today. Dr. Jill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. So great to be here with you as always.
Looking forward to our conversation. So then let's start here, because you know we do this every month. What passage have you been pondering these days that you can share?
Yes. Oh, and I love that we start with this question, because it gives me a chance just to share what God's been doing in my life. You know, because we've texted back and forth, there's been a period, and I know so many of my colleagues and friends and everyone has been going through a lot of transition with this pandemic. I think it kind of takes us deep to the roots of what really matters and what are our sources of strength and what are we putting value in. And there's no different for me. So before I share the verse, I just wanted to share, I've had my own journey of just really there's so many demands and so many needs. And just like Jesus, we can never, not that we're always in that realm, but he couldn't meet the needs of all the sick. And I've been feeling the burden of all the sick and all the needs and all the anxiety. And I love what I do. And I love nothing more than meeting needs of patients. But literally, if I'm really honest with you and our listeners, I've been in a state of a little bit of overwhelm with all the needs. And God has just spoken to me so deeply that he has a path and he has a journey for me, and that I just rest in him. And I get, like, sometimes the times when I think I should be more productive, the rest is where I gain my strength. And that verse comes from there. But the other thing that he's taught me is that I don't have to prove that I'm enough, that I'm right, that I'm good. I can just be, and I can actually be and embrace my imperfections. And that's been so freeing, Susie, because as I've been writing and really realizing I've been through the medical training is a culture of perfection and a culture of expectations that are very unrealistic. And I realized that I've been unlearning 20 years of education that makes us think that we have to have all the answers, that we have to be perfect, and that we have to take care of all the needs around us. And none of us can humanly do that. So that's where it stands. And I read from Psalm 25 today of just, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And I was just struck by the wait, because so often I'm a being person, not a waiting or a calm or a still person. And he just continues to tell me, you know, your strength comes from the times when you sit and you just be. And you are enough. You are loved for being, not for doing. And that's such a lesson that I've grappled with. And it's so profound, because I feel the strength coming from that stillness.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure I know that someone listening today absolutely needed to hear that exact word. And I mentioned some of these topics we're going to address, but I want to honor some of the texts that have just come in. This dear listener says, just love, love, love it when you have Dr. Jill, Dr. Troy on the show. I have a question for Dr. Jill. Would taking digestive enzymes cause more gas, bloating, and heartburn symptoms? Have a great show. Thanks to you, Dr. Jill. What do you say?
Oh, I love it. So I love digestion in the gut, one of my favorite things that I started out doing 20 years ago. And what's very interesting is people will think, oh, digestive enzyme, go grab one off the shelf, and they're very different. So let me explain a couple different types and why you might be having symptoms. There's plant-based enzymes. These are great, kind of average every day. A lot of times children can take them, adults can take them. And if you don't have any major digestive issues, they are just fine. However, for patients like myself and those mold patients, a lot of these plant-based enzymes are grown on either Saccharomyces or Aspergillus, both of which are fungi and mold. And so patients who have sensitivities to those things, they maybe don't do as well with the plant-based enzymes. Now, the other type of enzyme is called pancreatin. And these are usually from pork sources. There's a few from bovine source, but they're actually animal pancreatic enzyme. And they're more similar to like the types of things we get from animals like insulin or other things. And so they're not plant-based and they're not grown on Aspergillus. And they're stronger as well. So these would be, again, they're usually called pancreatin. They come both over the counter and they come in a prescription version. These are a little bit stronger, and then they're less reactive to those patients who have sensitivities to mold and to fungus.
Wow, absolutely amazing. This dear listener says, what can we do to strengthen, what can we do or take to strengthen our immune system?
Yeah, so I always want to start with lifestyle, because it's so easy to go from regular medicine to green medicine, where we just take, instead of a drug, we take a supplement and then we think that's going to do the trick. And while I am a huge fan of supplements and I take, oh, you don't even want to know how many I take every day, I really think going back to some basic lifestyle things is the first step for immune system. And sadly, maybe one of the hardest things to deal with is stress, but it also has the most profound suppressive effect on the immune system. So the first thing, which again, it's easier to take a pill, I think, but is dealing with the stress. And for each of us, we have different outlets, whether it's sitting, meditating on prayer, scripture, being with friends or family or loved ones in your inner circle during this pandemic, or just, you know, human touch of someone who's in your household. Taking a walk in nature is one thing that energizes me. And something that years ago I never thought I had time for, but now I do frequently, is just coloring. I'll color encouraging scripture words. And again, whatever for you, listener, is a good stress reliever, make sure that you have time in your life for that, because that could be the most profound impact on your immune system. But as far as, there are supplements that are key, vitamin D, we have seen evidence coming all over the place with great science behind it for vitamin D levels and COVID complications. And there's a really good argument and great scientific support that show that if you have adequate vitamin D, you're going to be less likely to have complications. And that is my favorite immune supplement. I often, when I used to get on planes, would take a pretty high dose before I get on the plane, and I would never get sick. So vitamin D is your number one core thing. You want a level in your serum, if your doctor checks it, between about 50 and 80. That would be ideal. If you're 30 or 20 or even 10, you're probably not taking enough or getting enough sunshine. And unfortunately, for most of us in the U.S., even if we bare our skin in the middle of the winter months, we just don't get enough sunshine. So even if you're going outside for an hour a day in a t-shirt and shorts, and again, most of our latitudes in the U.S., we can't do that because of the cold, you're not going to be getting enough vitamin D. So during the months of October through March, at least here in Colorado, I have my patients supplement. A few other really core nutrients are vitamin C, zinc, and then N-acetylcysteine. Those are some of my favorites for immune support.
Wow, very good. All right, this listener says, good afternoon. I work for someone whose husband contracted corona. I clean for her. I'm afraid if I go back to the area where he was living before he was tested, I could be susceptible to contracting it. I've been extremely careful because my brother-in-law had heart failure. My mother is 82, and I take care of my grandchildren. Is it okay for me to feel that way?
So dear listener, I know, you know, one of the things I think is the most tricky about the pandemic is the fear mongering. Now, I absolutely believe there's real risk, and I absolutely see the numbers and the things. And I know that some of my patients, family members, and other people have even, you know, died of the virus. So this is a very real thing. However, living in fear actually suppresses the immune system as well, and fear actually suppresses some of the good bacteria in your gut. So that's an interesting thing too. So you don't want to live in fear. And I really believe that most services, there's so much stuff that was going around about how long it survives on cardboard versus plastic versus whatever other materials. I don't think that's a large source of transmission. So and then the other evidence that's come out is aerosolized versus these other ways that it spreads through the air. And what they're finding is there's certain super spreaders. So, for example, way at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a super spreader in, I think it was China or Korea, who went to church and they all sang. And so their voices were, you know, spreading with no mask. And there happened to be someone who had the virus within that situation that was spreading it because they were talking and spreading it through that way. Nowadays, again, we're social distancing, we're wearing masks in public places, and of course, if someone's out of that house for a period of time and it's been cleaned, I think your likelihood of getting exposed in that method is extremely low.
Thanks for that, Dr. Jill. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan, we're going to pause here. We've got more questions coming in by text. It's totally good if you want to text versus call. Either way works, but it's so great to see these questions come in. When we come back, Leanne asks, are there times when eczema and skin issues just cannot be healed by functional means? Is there a time when Western medicine must be used? We'll tackle that one and more on the other side. We welcome your questions via text or calling 877-933-2484. Here's the thing is, God is committed to your healing and your wholeness, and every step towards healing matters, right? We'll be back in a minute.
He started something good.
Come on, somebody. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Sometimes one of the best things you can do, at least it's one of the good things you can do, is put on a song like that, get up and dance. Make yourself laugh. Rejoice. Those things are super good for your physiology. If you listen often enough, you know I love to cover health and the healing process. I'm someone who's had to contend, and I keep contending for health and the healing process. And I know that there are steps we can take and that God wants us to do this with him. He has a part, and we play a part. So on to have my good friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan, who really is a world-renowned expert, so that we would get time with her is an incredible gift, that she gives time out of her busy schedule to pour into you. Absolutely means the world to me. We welcome your questions. You can keep them anonymous if you prefer. You can call or text 877-933-2484. So this dear listener asks, are there times when eczema and skin issues just cannot be healed by functional means? Is there a time when Western medicine must be used? What do you say?
So I grew up on a farm and I had eczema so bad as a child, it covered most of my entire body. I would scratch so much that I would bleed. Mm-hmm. So dear listener, I know very much firsthand how bad this can be. So the answer is yes, but, and I'll explain. So sometimes steroid creams or some of the immune modulating creams can be really lifesavers when it gets so severe that you're, because eczema is an issue with the skin barrier. So you lose the natural oils and it's kind of an immune reaction on the skin. And usually there's allergies and food sensitivities that are involved. So it always goes back to the gut-immune interface. And we've talked about this before, but some of the ways that you can get eczema under control is to really look at the gut, the microbiome, if there's any abnormal growth of bacteria or fungi, or if there's foods in your diet, the common ones being wheat, soy, corn, egg, dairy, sugar, alcohol, and sometimes there's random things like pineapple or coconut. And if you find out what food sensitivities are triggering it, often taking those out will reduce the burden and decrease the eczema. But at the core, you really have to work on healing the gut. And if you just had, you know, one simple thing to try, I would try a gluten, dairy, sugar-free diet. But back to your original question, sometimes the skin barrier is so impaired that you need to do something to calm that down. And I had years and years of topical steroids off and on, and I do think that while that didn't cure it, it can get that under control for a period of time. And I think that's perfectly appropriate in the short term.
Thank you for that. This one, Mary Jane asks, if it's God's will for me to be chronically ill, she has systemic mastocytosis, NASH, chronic migraine, how would I know when it's time to stop seeking medical advice and just seek peace? Been seeing doctors for 29 years now. Doctors are growing tired of dealing with all my ailments. Oh, I want to pray for you, Mary Jane. What do you say, Dr. Jill?
Oh, yes. And I just, my heart goes out to you, Mary Jane. I, every single day in the clinic, have people walk in who've had 5, 10, 20 years of being really traumatized by our medical system, just like you have been. Where, and I hear all the time where doctors are like, I'm sorry, I can't do anything more for you. And I think that's, well, I do understand that there's limitations in certain practices or certain doctors that maybe haven't had that experience. Giving patient or taking away that hope is one of the most awful things we could do. And I just heard you say in the beginning, what if this is God's will? A verse came to me years ago in the middle of some of my most deepest suffering and illness. Like you, I didn't know if I could find answers. And it was in Jeremiah. And it was, behold, I will bring to you health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them an abundance of prosperity and security. And I would just encourage you to grab a hold of the scriptures of promises of healing, because God is our great physician and he wants healing. And so while his will sometimes is like I do believe that we suffer to learn and grow, but his will is healing. There's no doubt in my mind, I can promise you, his will is that we are whole and healed mentally, spiritually, and physically. And so you can rest assured that that is your will, his will for you. But I know it's a hard journey. I would just encourage you to keep seeking, but also be in the day-to-day, be at peace with where you're at today. And Susie, I would love if you have anything to add.
I just hear the tenderness in your voice as someone who's battled, and me as well. I really had to get to a point where I actually believed God wants me well. And I realized when I was confronted with that idea, I wasn't sure I believed it. It was many years ago. But Mary Jane, if you look through scripture, there's never, not one time that Jesus went to a town and made someone ill. Not one time. So there are, we live, you know, on a broken planet, and Jesus did say we would have much tribulation. But to me, thinking that it might be God's will, that you're chronically ill, that I'm chronically ill, is the same as saying someone who's got a predisposition towards alcoholism or anxiety, something that's in their DNA that was handed down to them, they may just have to work harder to overcome, but it doesn't mean it's God's will that they battle alcoholism or that they battle depression or whatever. It just means we have to, you know, like you and I, Jill, we talk about this. We both have a small bucket. We have to work harder, but there, that doesn't mean the road is blocked. It just means we've got to contend for it, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to say that because people look, you know, whether I post pictures of me hiking or doing this or that, and same with you, you are on the radio, you're doing books. The truth is, I look like I'm vibrant and healthy and have no cares in the world. But every single day, I take a handful of pills morning and night. I do things like make sure that I get good sleep. It takes hours every week for me to stay healthy. And all of the things, the food that I eat is incredibly strict in my diet. Now, I'm not complaining, but I just want people to know when they look at me and see the vibrancy and health, it is a lot of energy, effort, prayer, and just, you know, surrender, because there are days when I don't feel well, and there's a lot of effort that goes into feeling well.
I feel exactly the same thing. You know, one thing, I see a question coming in. We've got a number of texts, but one's asking about tinnitus. I have chronic loud ringing in my ears, and sometimes if I've had a mold exposure, the ringing is so loud I can't hear anything else. And you get the brain stuff that you deal with, and the pain and the fatigue, all of that is so real. But I think when you get enough fight in you, but I think it's critical, Mary Jane, that you believe God wants me well. I want you to start saying that out loud. God wants me well. But I believe, Dr. Jill, and I'd love to know your thoughts. You know, he, like my son, was a recipient of a medical miracle. You can't explain it. He was prayed for and was medically, miraculously healed from a serious back injury. But more times than not, I think we get so identified with our struggle that we need the process more than we need a quick zap, you know, just because we have so much identity, emotions, fears tangled up in the chronicity of it all, that it's like we didn't get here overnight. And I think that process then needs to be untangled over time, don't you?
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, I've been doing this a long time, like 20 years now, and I always, you know, I love the biochemistry, the genetics, the pathways, and that's what I've been doing forever. But what I've realized most in the past 4 or 5 years, and in my own journey as well, the greatest healing that really has profound change, you do all that other stuff, you do the right diet, the environment, the sleep, all of that. But the piece that really can transform is dealing with those old emotional messages, those old trauma patterns, those children, those old things that are just not, they're not true. They're not what God says we are. And again, I've done a lot of work around that. I continue to do that because as we do more work, we realize there's more to do. And I maybe shouldn't even say work because then we get back into that doing instead of being. But allowing God to heal our emotional and mental programs is a huge part of the process.
Amen. And adding faith to your deeds, I too take a lot of supplements in the morning and the night, but I've noticed I'm moving forward. And so I add faith to my deeds. Lord, I thank you for the provision to have these, and I'm believing God they're doing something in me. So we've got about 2.5 minutes before our hard break. See if we can get this one in. Victoria says, Dr. Jill, you touched on a little bit. Susie and Dr. Jill, you touched on this a little bit. How about fermented enzymes? What do you say?
This is a great question. So there are some incredible foods that are healthy for the gut, like bone broth and fermented foods, kimchi and sauerkraut and all kinds of fermented vegetables. The power that these foods have, especially the fermented ones, is they are billions and billions of probiotics, so the good bacteria for your gut. And this has been done for hundreds of years to preserve food. So it's a real sustainable health practice that many of our ancestors have done. However, here's the caveat. If you have histamine intolerance, and you may or may not know this, but if you're prone to like red, itchy skin, or you react, if you have mast cell inflammation or mast cell disorders or anything in that realm, you might also react to high histamine foods. And unfortunately, bone broth, fermented foods, any sort of meat that's dried or preserved, certain types of cheeses that are old, like blue cheese, and then other things that even like leftovers in your fridge if they've been 2 or 3 days, or fish that's not cooked or prepared or fresh frozen. So any protein that has a chance to degrade, all of these things will create more histamine. And for some people, histamine's a big deal. For me, it is. So all these wonderful foods are a problem. So you kind of have to know if histamine's an issue or not. And what you might notice is either stomach upset or rashes or symptoms after you eat fermented foods. And if that's the case, you really have to look at the histamine issues before you can consume them.
Mm-hmm. And sinus issues may be a problem.
Yes.
And also, if you've got a mold issue, kombucha is the same kind of thing. The fermented, it will wreck your gut and may stir up symptoms as well. So that's why it's so important. This is why we have Dr. Jill on, because there's just not a one-size-fits-all. What's good for you might not be good for the other, because we all have different needs and deficits. So as we get ready to go to break, I just want to say a prayer for Mary Jane, for others, for each and every one of us. Lord, I want to just thank you that it is your will for us to flourish. It is your will that we have life and life abundant, that our soul prospers, that we are well in every way. You want for us shalom, that's soul prosperity, that's health, that's healing. You want that for us. So I pray all of us, Lord, could take a big giant leap of faith today and be in agreement with you that you want us well. You want us well. Help us to take our steps and believe you to do what only you can do. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. More with Dr. Jill Carnahan in just a moment. Keep the questions coming. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. I want you to repeat after me, God wants me well. My good friend Dr. Jill Carnahan joins me every month, and she's a busy woman, so I love that she gives us time. She's both an MD and a functional med doctor, and we're talking about health in the healing process. We have a part, we play a part, and God plays a part. And there's just something about living on a fallen planet with our food is not the same. The air is not what it used to be. We are going to have to contend for our health. And one of my guests years ago, Dr. Michael Brown, said, God isn't obligated to give us a healthy body if we continue to trash it. And that's just true as well, that our choices really do matter. So every one of us listening today, there are tweaks we can make to move towards health and healing. And that's not to say all your health problems are your fault. Again, we live in a fallen planet, but there are, we may be doing things that we think are right and they're actually hurting us. So this is why it's just good to know and identify what's going on. What do you need? So we welcome those questions. You can text or call 877-933-2484. So Dr. Jill, this Carol texts in, main causes of ringing in ears, tinnitus, what can be done for it? Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So this is a tough one because I think you mentioned before the break, when that happens, it can be so loud and it's almost always worse when you lie down to take a nap or sleep. And it can be really disruptive. It can affect your ability to hear other people's conversations. So we think of it as like maybe an annoyance, but for those patients suffering from tinnitus, which is the medical name for this, it's really difficult. So it's interesting because there's many different causes. From a functional perspective, there can be sinus or eustachian tube dysfunction or overgrowth of both bacteria or fungus in the sinuses or in the ear canals that affect. And really, a lot of times, even the fluid levels can affect this. So getting to a good ENT who can take a look at the sinuses and treat appropriately. Some ENTs don't think a whole lot about fungus or mold in the sinuses, but I found especially if you have a history of a lot of chronic sinus issues and many antibiotics, you can have fungus or mold growing in there just as well as you can bacteria, and the typical antibiotics will make that worse and not better. Other things are histamine, back to that topic we talked about before the break. So if you have excess histamine, reactions to foods or chemicals, can also increase this. And then there's something called Meniere's disease, which is a predisposition towards this ringing and sometimes imbalance or feeling more likely to have car sickness. It can be affected by the vestibular system in the brain too. So I know that's a lot. I would say with tinnitus, there's not easy answers, but there are answers. So I would keep digging, get a good ENT, have someone check your gut and check your sinuses.
Wow, amazing. Okay, this anonymous listener has three questions. One, I can go for a very long time without eating and I don't feel hungry and my stomach feels great. But the minute I start eating, my stomach feels uncomfortable, like I have to keep putting something in it. I've tried eliminating almost every food, don't really feel the change. Any thoughts? And the second, what are your thoughts on consumption of beans? Healthy, not healthy? Depends on the person. And three, do you agree with diets based on blood type? So you can tackle whichever of those or all of them if you prefer.
Okay, so the first thing is there are types of stomach issues like gastritis and types of ulcers that feel either better or worse when you eat or don't eat. Typically, if you have a little bit of a gastritis or inflammation, you will feel worse when you put food into the stomach. So while I cannot diagnose you over the radio, I would suggest that you go and get an upper scope and look in that stomach and see if there's actually inflammation or damage. Some of the common things that patients might find helpful would be glutamine or zinc carnosine or deglycerized licorice. These are very common herbs and supplements that can soothe and heal that stomach. And even over-the-counter, some of the Zantac and Prilosec and those things temporarily can give you some relief. It sounds like from your experience that the foods aren't making a big difference, which makes me think that it might be actually inflammation of the lining. So I would go to your doctor and get that checked out and try to heal that and see if you can get some relief. Second, are beans good for people? You know, lentils and beans are amazing food group. I do find that more and more of my patients who have autoimmunity and inflammation tend to do better on a more paleo, which is a grain-free and in a legume-free diet. There's several reasons for this. First of all, grains are the most highly contaminated in our food supply with molds and mycotoxins. So I think one of the reasons why people feel better on a grain-free diet is by nature they're eliminating sources of mold in their diet. And it may not be that everybody has to eliminate all grains. A lot of my patients tolerate gluten-free grains like quinoa or rice, but they avoid corn and gluten, rye, barley, wheat, et cetera. Legumes can be a really healthy source of fuel for people, but they can have some issues for other people with bacterial overgrowth or other issues. So once again, diet has to be individualized, but you can do some experimentation and find out what you feel best eating or not eating.
Boy, so good. What are the latest thoughts about hormone supplementation and menopause?
Oh, yes. This has been quite a controversial issue for so many years. So first of all, the original studies that were done on Premarin, which is from horse urine. It's a type of estrogen that our bodies don't produce. So then the shift probably in the 90s was to bioidentical hormones, which is estradiol and sometimes estriol, which is a weaker and much safer form of estrogen. So most women now are on either commercial or compounded forms of estradiol or estriol or a combination of the two. And because these are human produced, they're bioidentical, meaning they're the exact same thing that your body would produce. They don't have the side effects that some of the studies showed with these horse estrogens. So that's one of the things. Now, I think of hormones, whether it's testosterone or DHEA or estrogen for women or progesterone, these are very powerful tools. And for the right patient with testing and making sure that the levels are appropriate, they can be so profoundly helpful for symptoms. They can even help with heart health and with brain and with sleep. So common symptoms of estrogen deficiency include insomnia, brain fog, memory issues, hot flashes, night sweats. So they can be incredibly helpful. And usually the younger that you use them if needed, the more safe they are. It's usually as a patient gets over the age of 65 that there starts to be a lot more risk. But all of this doesn't come without some risk. So if you're thinking about using bioidenticals or you're already on them, it would be best to talk to your physician about your specific risk and how long you should be on them and what doses you should be on.
Very good. Dr. Jill, I have chronic headaches and have for several years. I figured out some things that cause my headaches, such as food with nitrates, too much sugar, too many carbs. I've cut way back on sugar and carbs, but still finding I have lots of headaches. Where would you suggest I start in figuring this out? I know I'm taking way too much aspirin and ibuprofen. God bless you, Carol. What do you say?
Oh, gosh, and headaches are such a tricky thing, too. Mm-hmm. Just funny because I'm the guinea pig, and I've had experience with so many of these. Back when I was young, I had headaches every single day. I don't have them anymore, but back in the day, I was eating gluten, and the many things that I didn't know were triggers. So you started talking about foods, and that's one of the first things that people typically do, things like chocolate, coffee, sugar, salicylates, which are actually in aspirin and in certain foods can be a trigger. And here you're taking aspirin. So some people have rebound headaches from some of the meds that you're taking. So I would explore that and make sure none of the meds that you're taking are actually contributing to the headaches. Aspirin can be one trigger for some people. The other thing would be oxalates. Another tricky thing, this comes from aspergillus and sometimes candida or other bugs in the gut, and it can be produced by the body. It can also be in certain foods, so there's certain high oxalate foods if you search for those lists, and some people are triggered by oxalates to have more joint pain or headaches. And then there's things like you mentioned, nitrates or sulfites. So there's a bunch of different categories that are very confusing. But many of these can be tested for. Organic acids in the urine can show some of these things in the urine. And this gets a little more complex, but that would be one way to look at it is experimenting with the different foods. Also, there can be inflammatory components like mold in your environment or toxic chemicals that are contributing. So I would look at, like, are your headaches worse at work or at home? Different types of bright lights or changes it with your vision or your glasses if your prescription is off can also contribute. And there's more, but those are some of the basics that you would want to look at for headaches.
If she was looking into, let's say she feels worse at home, would her next step be an ERMI test, or what kind of test would she need to do for her home?
Yeah, so we're looking at if mold could be a cause. And so that perfect world would be if we had really incredible inspectors in every city and every country and everybody had access to them. And because a human being that could examine your home is the best, but we don't have that. So I am a frequent proponent of these ERMI tests. You can find them online. You can order them yourself. And what it is it's a dust sample. So they basically send you a Swiffer cloth and you take dust from your home. You want to kind of avoid taking samples from 2 feet or below by your floor because that can bring in stuff from the outside. And you want to get a sample of dust that's been there but not been there for 20 years. So maybe a place that's been cleaned in the past month, but maybe not cleaned in the past 2 weeks. So kind of an average dust sample. And then the lab will analyze the dust for PCR, which is like DNA analysis for molds that are present in your environment. I find this to be an invaluable tool to kind of get a sample of the history of the home. And I would say frequently patients bring those in and I find stuff, especially if you see high levels of cotomium or stachybotrys. These two are really, really toxic. And it's much worse to have like 5 on a stachybotrys than even, 300 on an aspergillus, because the stachybotrys and the cotomium can be much more toxic.
So Ermi is E-R-M-I. Is that right? Capital
yes,
E-R-M-I. Ermi. So if you look up another site that you could peek at is survivingmold.com. There's a lot of information there. And one of the reasons that it's a dust sample versus an air sample is because if I think I learned this from you, that some of these dangerous molds are heavy and they're not floating in the air. They're landing on a surface. Is that right?
That's right. You know, what's so funny is if I were to ask every patient that comes in that I suspect of mold, do you have mold in your house? 99.9% of them would be like, no, because we all think we don't, because it's usually hidden. And most of the time it is hidden behind a wall, under a floorboard, under your sink, and it's not visible. And that also means these, especially Stachy and Cotomium, they're dark, they need a water source, they're sticky, and they don't easily go into the air. So you can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 air samples in your home and they look beautiful and you could still have a big mold issue. So while I do believe in air sampling in the appropriate, you know, space and condition, it's not an end-all be-all if you've had normal air sampling.
Super important, too, to know this isn't just old homes. This can be new homes where they didn't wrap the windows and they cut corners. You got a gorgeous home and you don't even realize that you feel crummy in it. Just so you know, that is a possibility. And let's see, what kind of test? Ermi, yes, Leanne. Ermi, so E-R-M-I, and you can check it out on survivingmold.com. This is from Sherry. Let's see if we can grab this one before our next break here. Let's see. I've heard that GMO foods, which I've been buying because I thought they were better for you, can change the DNA of your body. Does Jill believe this true? Second, how do you keep from getting bladder infections? Thanks, Sherry. What do you say, Dr. Jill?
I love these questions. So GMO, so genetically modified organisms, especially corn and soy, there's also like cotton and some of the other common crops that are grown in the U.S. and around the world. What they have done is they have modified these organisms to grow and be resistant to Roundup or glyphosate. And glyphosate is an herbicide that kills the weeds. So basically the farmers, and I grew up on a farm, so I know this well, they can grow corn or soybeans. They can spray it heavily with a herbicide to kill all the weeds, but that plant will survive. So it's been bred to resist a chemical. And what it does is it tends to that, the genetically modification, you're inserting genes into the genome, and it can alter the protein that is expressed by these crops. So what we're finding now is there's epidemic proportions of things like celiac disease and leaky gut, and we think that there's a connection to the consumption of, especially we think about babies on soy formula, it's almost always, unless it's organic, genetically modified. So a lot of times even our infants are getting a large exposure. And these new to nature proteins that are created by modifying the corn or soy or crop, our body doesn't always recognize. So if you're one of those sensitive patients and you're eating genetically modified corn and soy, your body's like, what the heck is this? I've never seen this before. And so it thinks it's a new to nature protein, even though it's just corn or soy. So we become more reactive. The other thing that the glyphosate also gets onto the corn and soy, and when we eat it, we're getting exposure to Roundup or glyphosate as well. Now, glyphosate doesn't really hurt our human cells. So a lot of the companies that have made this have said, oh, it's perfectly fine, it's safe for consumption. But what they didn't look at in their studies was how it affects our microbiome. And its effect on the microbiome is dramatic in several ways. One is it's a mineral chelator. So it basically chelates the minerals that you need to survive and chelates the minerals that your microbes need to survive and can have dramatic effects on decreased levels of healthy bacteria in your gut. It also has effect on just changing that inflammatory composition in the gut. So it really does have a profound effect on the gut. And the second question was different bladder. Is that right?
Yeah. We're going to pause for our break. When we come back, how do you keep from getting bladder infections? That's one question. And also, Terry, I love this. He says, I've been so helped in a huge way with Dr. Jill's segments. So thank you. I've cleaned up my eating habits for the last 18 months. And because hypertension runs in my family, I've also limited coffee intake. So way to go, Terry. He says, what's your opinion on effervescent emergency packets? I've started taking one in the afternoons for an energy boost. We'll talk about that on the other side. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan. We sure welcome your questions via text or phone, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
This could change.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to have my friend Dr. Jill Carnahan on the show once a month. She is a world-renowned expert in mold toxicity autoimmune issues. She's both an MD and a functional med doc. She's brilliant, and she's an incredible woman of God and means so much that she gives time to pour into you. We're taking your questions and calls by either text or phone, 877-933-2484. So Terry wrote in and says, I've been helped in a huge way with these segments with Dr. Jill. He's cleaned up his eating in the last 18 months because of hypertension running in his family. He's limited his coffee intake. Wants to know your opinion on the effervescent emergency packets. He started taking one in the afternoons for an energy boost. And I will say, Terry, we have to be super careful about commenting on certain name brands, but good luck with that one, Jill. If you can give a general advice, what do you say? Oh my goodness, I can't hear. Are you there, dear Jill?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm so sorry. Oh,
okay.
I hit the mute button.
That's all right.
Here I am.
That's okay.
And I started talking.
Yes. So, and my heart rate is exactly the same as it was just a second ago. So just wanted
beautiful.
You to know. All is good. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, Terry, I am so glad you changed your diet and made those changes because often it takes a while for those things to, but you are going to really see long-term the changes for your blood pressure and everything else. Effervescent packets, a lot of times will have this vitamin C, and that's a great thing to take in any form. That's one form of it, but there's many other ways. And vitamin C is one of the best nutrients, super simple. Almost everybody can tolerate vitamin C. And then the other thing about blood pressure, just want to mention, sometimes just simple minerals can be super helpful. And again, you'd work with your doctor in case you're on medications, but things like potassium, magnesium are so critical to healthy blood pressure. And most of us are slightly deficient. So sometimes just minerals can be profoundly helpful for our blood pressure.
Thank you for that. And Tim says this, what's the best supplement to help with brain fog and mental sharpness?
Gosh, I have a ton of favorite brain supplements, but a few nutrients that are really critical. Acetyl L-carnitine is a precursor of acetylcholine, and it's, again, pretty well-tolerated, simple. Many people benefit from that. And there's some combinations that also include an herb called herpazine. Herpazine prevents the reuptake of acetylcholine, so you have more of that hanging around. So those two tend to work really nicely together. And, gosh, there's so many, but there's a few out there like Bacopa and N-acetylcysteine and glutathione. That have been shown to help with the brain. And a lot of the stress adaptogens are good too. So rhodiola or honocoil, which is also called magnolia, really good for stress. And again, I could name hundreds, but those are a few of my favorites.
Very good. I'm Anna. My 8-year-old daughter developed a tic disorder at the end of the summer, including crossed eyes frequently and clearing throat. She was found to have anti-TPO thyroid antibodies levels in the 80s, although all thyroid levels are within normal limits at this time. Are they related? What could be causing the tic? What do you say?
Oh, gosh. So first of all, I'm sorry. It's so hard to see your daughter suffer with those kinds of symptoms. When I hear those kinds of symptoms you're describing, I think more of brain inflammation. And I don't want to scare you by saying that because this is actually really, really more common than we think. But a lot of times mood disorders, tic disorders, even personality like a rage that comes out of nowhere where you've got a happy, well-adjusted child that gets angry and more irritable all of a sudden. And there's something called PAN and PANDA, which is this autoimmune encephalitis. That's a long, fancy medical term for brain inflammation. And sadly, there's more and more children that are being diagnosed with this. I did write an article. It's free. If you just Google online my name and then PAN or PANDAs, you can read more about that online. It's quite a complicated topic, but there are answers.
And by the way, Jill has a newsletter that's so fantastic. You get recipes, you'll get updates on just health topics and some of the latest issues that we're facing in our health crisis and how we can build up our immunities. You can go to, well, drjillhealth.com, I think, is your store. JillCarnahan.com is your main website. Is that right?
Yeah, JillCarnahan.com.
Got it. Okay, so Joyce from Sioux Falls wants to know, I'm looking for ways to bring down my blood pressure naturally, as I've not at all enjoyed the effects of the medicine that's had on me. Dr. Jill, have any suggestions? What do you say?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, I usually, again, in conjunction, so some diuretics and blood pressure medications can affect electrolytes and minerals. So you'd want to check with your doctor before starting anything I'm mentioning here. But potassium and magnesium can be profoundly helpful, as well as just increased hydration. Decreasing sodium for some people can be helpful. And then there's certain herbs like hawthorn and bergamot that can be really helpful for cardiovascular health. Some of my top four heart nutrients are coenzyme Q10, magnesium, taurine, and L-carnitine.
Very good. Thank you, Joyce, for that. And that previous question from our listener who called in, didn't want to be on the air, wanted to how to stop recurring bladder infections.
Yes. So, again, what happens often with the bladder, there's a couple things that can be underlying the recurrency. Number one is usually if there's recurrent, like E. coli or a bacteria, the reservoir for that is in the gut. So I would always check a stool test and organic acids, and I would try to treat if there's any overgrowth of bacteria or E. coli or staph or strep in the gut, because that reservoir, by treating that, will often decrease the recurrency of infections in the bladder. The second thing I see a lot is the interstitial cystitis, which is like an inflammation of the bladder and pain, and often it will look like bladder infections, but there's no bacteria in the urine. And the way to deal with that is deal with histamine issues and oxalate issues. So again, you can test or organic acids, and you can do antihistamines and things to calm the bladder that way. Some of the best nutrients to prevent infections would be cranberry and D-mannose.
What's the second one you said?
D-mannose. It's a letter D and then M-A-N-N-O-S-E. It's a type of sugar that prevents adherence of the bacteria from the bladder lining.
Wow, very interesting. Okay, here's another question, heartbreaking, from Gail. How can I encourage our 26-year-old granddaughter who has just been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear that. This is certainly not an easy answer, you know, unless you have the personal intervention. But, you know, there are doctors that work with, I always feel like I do a lot of patients that have had cancer, and I always work with a conventional oncologist or someone they're using for treatment. But there are a lot of nutritional things that can bolster the immune system in the right way. And that'd be somewhere where you'd really want to find an integrative or holistic doctor that works with your oncologist and coordinate between the two of them, because there's a lot that can be done. But of course, if she's getting conventional treatment, you're going to want to make sure that nothing interferes with that either.
This is an interesting question from Mel. Are there health cost sharing organizations for functional health? And if not, this is my little added comment, there should be. What a great idea. But do you know of anything like that?
Oh, yes. So, you know, there are some insurances out there that are MediShare plans, and a lot of them are Christian in nature, but they're all over the place where there's like a pool of funds and then they, you know, cost share. I remember in medical school, I actually had a plan like that that covered things really well. The other option that I usually recommend, and the one that I have myself, is I have a fairly high deductible plan that is, once I meet my deductible, covers at like 100%. It's a very well good coverage, but I have to meet the deductible. But what it is it's coordinated with an HSA or a health savings account. So I have, I think it's about $3,500 a year that I put into savings that is tax-free, and I can use that for chiropractic or massage therapy or nutritional supplements or physical therapy. And I really like that kind of a plan because you can choose where to use your money tax-free, and then that can go towards your deductible.
Boy, that's so good. So here we are, you know, just a couple months left of 2020. And, you know, I've talked, you and I've talked about this before too, but the toll on the soul, I mean, that's what I keep thinking about with our listeners. I keep praying for them because there's been layer upon layer upon layer of crisis. People are fatigued from conflict, from divisiveness. There's just so many levels of crises. What are some things a person listening today can actually do for their soul that would actually improve and help their health as they're navigating these times that nobody saw coming?
Oh, such a good, because again, the level of acuity, the anxiety that I'm seeing in my clinic is a huge result of the pandemic and the fear and the unknown. I think that the biggest thing is the surrender piece, which is so difficult. But what's brought all of this to the surface is the four things. There's an acronym called NUTS: novelty, unpredictability, threat to ego, sense of control. Every one of these is activated right now because we don't have control. It's new, it's unpredictable, and it's a threat to our health and our ego. That is the well-studied words of Hans Selye, who was the original stress researcher. So we are all in epidemic times of stress because of that. So like I said in earlier conversation, as an answer to a question, whatever you can do to relieve stress, and again, for everybody, it's different. Prayer, meditation, being in nature, being with loved ones, human touch within your inner circle, pets can be great, and really, really making sure that you're eating well and sleeping and all of the core basic things.
Dr. Jill, we sure love you, and I just thank you. This has been pure gold, and thank you, my dear listener, for tuning in. I hope you feel equipped. I hope you feel full of faith and are encouraged. Take the next steps in healing. Every step matters. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.